Hello, Audio Boom. Graham here, Black 73 Cat. Hope you're all well, guys. It is Friday, the 13th of March 2015, and it's about 10 o'clock in the AM. How are we all? I'm just looking at a jigsaw, a Where's Wally jigsaw to be specific, a 250-piece Where's Wally railway station jigsaw. It's my big boy's. He's been after doing a jigsaw for a while. He's done sort of, you know, sort of younger age type things, up to sort of 50 pieces or something, I guess. But he's never done a proper jigsaw, and he's been asking for a while. He said he wants to do it. So we got him one for his birthday. Just a little 250-piecer to start him off. And obviously the Where's Wally ones are great, aren't they? I really like them. But we got him the mat, you know, the green mat thing, and the roly-up tubes and stuff, so he can pack it away if he needs to and stuff. And he's got it laid out on this mat on the dining room table, and he just keeps coming back and dipping in and doing a few pieces here and there. Incidentally, just in case any of you think I am slovenly and eating my dinner in front of the TV, we have a kitchen table as well. We eat our meals at the kitchen table. The dining table is only there for when we have more people than we can seat at the kitchen table. Yes, we're not slovenly people. Just in case you go, his dining room has got a jigsaw on it. How can he possibly eat his meals in a respectful fashion? No, we have two tables. I'm not a snob, honest. Maybe just a little bit. Anyway, so when he got this jigsaw and he started getting really enthusiastic about building it, I said, right then.
When I were a lad, I used to build jigsaws all the time, so I know what I'm doing. I am the jigsaw building expert, obviously, because I'm your dad. Every dad's an expert at building jigsaws. So, listen to me, sunshine, and you'll not go far wrong.
And I convinced him, after some persuasion, that the best thing to do was to build the edges first. Get all the edge pieces built, get the frame built, and then you can construct the inner at ease. And eventually he agreed. He kept drifting off and trying to build the middle bit. And I kept coming back saying, no, you must build the edge. You must listen to me. So anyway, he came to me and he said, I've almost got the edge built, but there's a piece missing. So I came through and had a quick look and I couldn't see it. And I said, look, don't worry about it. What you do here now, because there's only one piece of the frame missing. I said, look, just build the rest around it. I said, and then as you reduce the number of pieces that are left to choose from, the one solitary edge piece will manifest itself, and it will show itself and wave its arms at you and say, I'm here, because it's not hidden under hundreds of other middle pieces anymore. So he said, okay, Dad, I'll try that. So he's been building away and building away, and he keeps just wandering in and doing a few bits for 10 minutes or so, and then popping back out again. I tell you what, it's really tempting looking at it now. I could finish this in about 10 minutes and could bring him from school and go, ta-da! I think he would probably be distraught, because he's really enjoying doing it, bless him. But anyway, I'm not convinced that this edge piece is here, you know. I've just looked for it now. He's done about half of the middle. Sorry, excuse the little boy shouting in the background. He's probably done about half of the middle. And we have the remaining pieces spread out very thinly, and I cannot spot this solitary edge piece. So either we are both sort of not seeing wood for trees, or it's not here. It's missing. And I've looked on the chairs, I've looked on the floor, I've looked under the mat, and I just cannot see it. So I think what we're going to have to do is build it to almost completion with the solitary piece missing, and have one more look around for it once all the pieces are out of the way, and then possibly take a picture and email the Where's Wally jigsaw making people, who are classic media, apparently. Oh. Paul Lomond Games. Okay. What's that company that do the jigsaws, that do all the proper jigsaws? Ravensburger, that's the one. Ravensburger, they do all the jigsaws, don't they? But it's not one of those, anyway. But yes, I think we'll have to take a photograph of it in completion and say, hey, my little boy was building this jigsaw and he can't complete it. This isn't fair, Mr. Paul Lomond Games. Please, can you send us the missing piece? And hopefully, they'll oblige. I'm now making a cup of coffee, as you can probably hear. And my frustration with his coffee machine, okay? Now, usually with a sort of a digital device with an auto power-off function, such as your TV tuner box or a stereo or your phone even, or your laptop or anything like that, that would normally sort of go to sleep after a little bit of time to conserve energy. Normally, if you interact, every time you interact with that thing, it moves the parameters of how long it's got to shut down. So for example, if you've got a 2-hour cool down and you 2-hour time off period and you interact with it after an hour, it will reset and you will have another 2 hours of cool off period before it shuts itself down. My coffee machine is an all singing, all dancing, swanky boogaloo bean to cup machine with all computerized display and all this malarkey. And yet it doesn't matter what I do to it, it will not interrupt the timer on the auto shutdown, and it really frustrates me. I've just literally, it always seems to know when I'm coming as well. It knows when I'll go, I'm having a cup of coffee. I think I'll have a cup of coffee in a minute, and somehow my telepathic waves must wander across the kitchen and hit the coffee machine sensors, and it goes, nah, Graham's coming, shut down, and it immediately switches itself off. Well, there's a sensor on the front door, because it can only handle 7, pucks of coffee. You know the pucks of ground coffee that you get out of a machine? It can only handle 7 of those at a time, and you must empty it on the 7th one. So when it's done 7 cycles, it stops and goes, empty the grounds container before we will allow you to make any more coffee. So I go, okay then, fair enough. So I'll empty it. But what happens is that door, when you open the front door to remove the coffee ground catcher bucket thing, when every time you open that door, that resets the counter. Okay, so if you open the door and look and see there are only three pucks in there, and you go, oh, it doesn't need emptying, shut the door, it will then try and squeeze another 7 pucks into there before it tells you to empty it, and obviously you're going to start getting jams because it's not designed to hold 10, if that makes sense. So there's a sensor, there's a switch on that door which must link into the brain of the machine. It must do. That's how it does the counting thing. So I literally just, the message was flashing on the screen, empty grounds container, from when I made a cup of coffee earlier on. So I've just gone, opened the front door, pulled out the coffee grounds bin, emptied the coffee grounds bin into the bin, put the coffee grounds bin back into the machine, pushed the drawer back in, shut the front door, and it switched off. It switched off. I was in the machine. I'm there. I am using the machine, and yet you still turn yourself off right in front of my eyes. Can you be any more frustrating? I need a coffee now. Maybe I should drink less coffee. Maybe I should drink less coffee and I wouldn't rant so much. That could be a thing. So anyway, let me pour my coffee and I will drink while I talk, because I want to talk about something that surprised me. I'm shocked. It seems my re-entry into the world of audio boo has landed me in the company of some lunatics, crazy people, barmy folk who like to pack their shopping themselves, or more truthfully, I guess, who decline the offer of packing from the checkout staff. Why would you do that? It's their job. Let them get on with it. It's one of the checkers. Do you know what? Phil said to me, he said to everybody, but it was in response to me, he said to everybody, the whole world was listening on Audio Boo because it's the future of radio, you know. Ooh, stop it, Graham, stop it. Anyway, so yes, Phil said that the reason he says he doesn't have his bags packed is because of his, quote, British politeness. So he politely declines the offer of assistance. Ah, no, that's their job. They're paid to do that. If you watch around when one of what do they call them, checkout captains or something. You know, they usually sort of, in my experience, they're usually sort of the slightly older ladies of the staff who have achieved greatness and have become a checkout commander, and they run around and they sort out problems with card failures and missing barcodes and things like that. And the ones that run along like this, and they go, hey up, sorry Jackie Duck, I was just helping Sheila on number 3. What's the problem, Flower? Oh, I see, right, well, you've got to void that one. That's right, void that. Cancel that one. Sorry, Doc, we'll be with you in a minute. We've just had a new update on the system and it's a bit confused with some of the items. We'll get it there, don't worry. Right, okay, Jackie, you've done that. Now scan that back through. Oh, that hasn't worked either. I wonder why that is. Hang on, I'll ask Dave to go and get another one off the shelf.
Dave, can you go and get me another bottle of Alberto Balsam conditioner off a shelf, please? This one's not scanning. Thanks, Doc.
You know the one. You know the ones I mean. Right, but if you... Gee whiz. Sorry. What the heck? Oh, no. I should really start again. What happened then? What? Oh, no. I guess it's because I've been... Oh, dear. Oh, dear me. I'm not cracking up, honestly. Anyway, so... No, I've got the giggles. So anyway, I'm laughing at myself. What am I doing? I'm cracking up. That's what happens when you spend all day in the company of a two-year-old. So yes. If you watch when one of the checkout commanders is running around between Jackie and Sheila and scanning barcodes, if you see that you are standing at the checkout as one of the checkout commanders walks past, and they won't hesitate in asking you, because I think they have to ask you if you would like packing, in case there are any crazy people that say no thank you. They have to ask you, because some people get upset apparently if they just do it, which is fair enough. I can kind of get that, I suppose. Why, I don't know, but anyway, yes. So but there will be no stalling tactics. They will just get on and do it, and they will bleep at lightning speed, and they will pack bags with a frenzy because the boss is standing there watching them. Or very close proximity. It's only when the checkout commanders aren't present that they will deploy the customer non-assistance avoidance tactics that you will find on any Google search. I haven't Google searched it, I'm guessing. Anyway, but I think one of those things is that they say in a guilty and in a sorrowful voice to make you feel guilty, "Would you like me to help you with your packing? Little old me with the frozen shoulder and the bad back. And you know, oh, it's been such a terrible week. It's been such an awful week. I missed the bus this morning on the way to work. And I was 5 minutes late and I've had an hour's salary docked. And I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to keep my job at the end of the week. But would you really like me to help you with your packing?" And you go, "Oh, it's okay, Duck. I'll do it." Because they like to be called Duck. Well, they like to call me Duck, so I call them Duck. And I don't know why they call me Duck. I don't look like a duck. But anyway, but yes, that's one of the avoidance techniques. They put the guilt trip on you. They say it in a little guilty, in a little sorrowful voice. "Would you like some help with your packing, sir?" "No, I wouldn't, because you seem like such a frail little thing. I don't want to, you know." No, it's the job. Let them do it. It's British politeness. They wouldn't ask you to build a website and then say, "Don't worry, Phil, just come around and sit and have a coffee for a few hours. I'll build a website myself." No, it's their job. Let them do it. yeah, but I can't, no, you know, and then Phil sums it up. It's like, it's this endless stream of find stuff, put it in the trolley, take it out of the trolley, put it into bags, put it back in the trolley, take it to the car, put it in the kitchen, take it from the kitchen floor, put it in the kitchen cupboards. What is all this system? It's the most inefficient system. So if I can let at least one stage of that disappear by letting staff who are paid to pack bags, then, you know, and ultimately it must be a pretty boring existence sitting there just going beep, beep, beep all day. I would like to do packing. And sometimes, you know, I go to Tesco's and I go late in the evening and it goes one of two ways. It goes one of two ways because to be fair, sometimes the staff in there are really, really good. I mean, it used to happen with Sainsbury's almost every week. I would get my bag packed. Usually, if there was anybody standing around free, you know, one of the guys that mans the self-checkout, I'll come to them in a minute, and one of those guys would run over and he or she would help with the packing, you know, because she could see that I was on my own and it was late at night and there were very few people in the store. It used to happen a lot more with Sainsbury's, I guess. There's a reason for that. But with the Tesco's ones, very rarely I'll get... There's usually two girls that seem to be on the same shift. Two young lasses, probably early 20s, I would guess. And they are clearly good friends, and they're quite often one of them standing on the self-service checkout and the other one standing on the only open checkout in the store. And they're sort of having a chat as they go. And that's fair enough, you know. They're not sort of... it's not affecting their work to have this chat. You know, don't think, ooh, they're chatting while they're working. No, that's fine, it's fine, it's cool. But what will happen is they'll see somebody come over to the checkout and they'll carry on chatting, but the one that's on the self-checkout, because nobody's using them, will come across and start packing bags for you. And they'll carry on having a chat, but they'll have a little bit of banter with you as well and stuff. And it's really nice. It's really nice. But it very rarely happens. Usually it's some grumpy, sour-faced old trout that just doesn't want to be there and just doesn't want to help. And it really frustrates me because I'm thinking, you're sitting there, you're not doing anything else. You're not going anywhere. I'm making your life more interesting, if anything. Just chuck it in the bag. No, always want my bags packed. And I don't give a hoot what goes in what bag, because all that happens is it comes back, all the bags get dumped on the kitchen floor. This is the good bit. I do the supermarket shopping every week. I come in, I dump all of the bags on the kitchen floor. My wife comes, switches on the kettle, switches on the coffee machine, because it's probably just switched itself off before she walked in the kitchen. And then I go, I'm just going to nip up and take my jeans and stuff off, Flower, slip into my lounging clothes. And I'll be back in a minute to help you. And this is the weekly routine. And then I go upstairs and and then I deploy the same tactics that the checkout staff in Tesco's use, and just delay things for a little while. So by the time I come back down, at least half of it's usually put away, so I don't really have that much to do. Oh dear. Oh, but self-service checkouts, they're brilliant. They're frustrating, and yes, I do swear at them. But the good thing is, you're allowed to swear at them. If you swore at one of the human checkouters, you'd get arrested. But you can swear at the electronic ones, because here's the secret. They've got no feelings, so you can call them what you like. And I often do, under my breath as well, because, you know, I don't want to upset anybody else that might be in the listening vicinity. But yes, they are so frustrating, though. They're so frustrating. Beep. Puts it in the bag. I have put it in the bag. Put the item in the bag. Please wait for assistance. And then you're looking around and you're snarling because the woman who's supposed to assist you is chatting to her mate on the next checkout. But then, and eventually they come over and they go, and you know what? I always have a bit of a joke, especially if I'm buying beer. And it goes, because you've got to do age check, haven't you? Beep, please wait for assistance. And the checkout person comes over and it says another thing. Does this person appear to be over 25? And they just walk up and flash their little magic card that says, yes, he is. And they go, beep. And they whiz their fingers across some buttons and walk away. And I go, excuse me. And they stop and they go, what? I said, what are you doing? And they go, what do you mean, what am I doing? Well, the thing asked you a question. And she goes, yes, I know. I just cleared it. Yes, but you didn't ask me how old I was. Well, I can see how old you are. What? You're saying I look older than 25? And they look at me. Bald and wrinkly. And they don't know what to say. And most of them will take it as a joke. It's a joke, it's intended. But I have upset a couple of them sometimes. Oh, I'm really sorry, Doug. Why haven't you asked me for ID? What? Well, you're clearly over 25. Well, thanks very much for that. Yes. Anyways. Oh dear me. As you can probably tell, I'm in quite a happy place this morning. Anyway, so but the reason I like those self-checkout things, as frustrating as they are, is because exactly the opposite, Phil. I don't like to talk to people. It's part of my whole anxiety, depression issue things. I don't like interacting with strangers if I can help it. So for me, the self-checkout things are brilliant because I can just take my stuff. Beep, 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 beep. Put it in the bag. Put it in the bag. Please wait for assistance. Beep, 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 beep. And then I can go. And I don't have to speak to anybody. I don't even have to take my earbuds out, because usually the high-pitched beeping can be heard over whatever I'm listening to. So I don't have to speak to anybody. It makes the shopping experience just a solitary thing. And it's brilliant because I just have an hour or so to myself where I can listen and just absorb into my own thoughts. And yes, I don't randomly smile at people, and I don't talk to myself very much, I don't think. But I do occasionally laugh out loud, especially if I'm listening to certain podcasts. I will laugh, and you know when you can't help it, and it just comes out. And it always seems to happen when you're, because late at night it's quiet, there's very few people around, but the laughs always seem to come when I'm standing on an aisle with somebody else, and they look at me going out, and I just have to point to my earbuds and shrug. Hopefully they understand and don't think I'm some kind of a loony. But yeah, no, always self-checkout if I can. Always, always, always. As for delivering, nah, I've tried delivering. Don't like it. Don't trust it. I've tried Sainsbury's and I've tried Tesco's. I do not like it. They're both the same. What highlighted an issue to me was that I got... I was getting, for a while with Tesco's, I was getting really shoddy produce delivered to my door. Just stuff that you wouldn't pick up. And they were like... They're supposed to. Their directive as the pickers, the pickers and packers, is to pick the thing with the longest shelf life possible. And they weren't. We were getting stuff like bread that was out of date the next day, and fruit that had gone off in the bloody pot sometimes and stuff. And you know, I was constantly rejecting stuff at the door. And literally, I was paying for a delivery, and then I was having to reject half of it at the door because it was hanging. And then go back to the shop myself and buy the bits that I rejected. And Sainsbury's was a little bit better, but not brilliant. But I spoke to Tesco about this, and what really shocked me was that they'd sent something. I can't remember what it was. It was a vegetable. It was like, I seem to remember I've got broccoli in my head. They sent me some broccoli, fresh broccoli, okay? And it was, it was the skankiest, mankiest head of broccoli that they could possibly have found. It was just horrible. I'm sure, thinking back, it was broccoli, and it was a skanky, manky, woody head, and there literally was like a massive, great big chunk of stalk with the tiniest little bit of green stuff on the top. I hadn't noticed it, to be honest, as I was taking it off the doorstep. And I came in the kitchen and looked, I said, what the bloody hell is that? There's not even enough for like my little baby's portion, never mind the portion for the whole family. So I rang the helpline thing and I said, look, you know, whoever your packers are, they're blinking useless. Who would possibly send broccoli like that? And she said, well, you have to remember that the people that are packing maybe don't know what they're actually packing. And I went, what? She said, well, maybe it's somebody who doesn't know what broccoli is. I said, I beg your pardon? I said, how can somebody not know what broccoli is? And she said, well, you never know. It might be somebody that's never eaten broccoli before. And I just went, are you kidding? Is that your excuse that you're employing dimwits that don't know what vegetables are? And well, they might not know how much you need for a family portion. They don't even know that it's for a family. No, but I bought a head of broccoli. Oh my word. And I just decided that as I said now. And now and again, because you know, it gets to like Wednesday afternoon and I'm like, oh, I've got to go shopping. And my missus comes in from work and I'm like, oh, I don't want to go shopping. Once I'm there, I'm fine. And she'll go, well, just get it delivered. And I'm like, No, I want to go, I want to pick things up, I want to squeeze them, I want to sniff them, I want to check that the dates are right, I want to check that it's fresh and looks pretty and it's gonna last a while. I don't want somebody who doesn't know what broccoli doesn't know what broccoli is to pack my bags and choose my shopping for me. That's just crazy. Utterly bonkers. But yeah, anyway, supermarket shopping. Oh, nice coffee. See, when it works, the coffee machine's awesome. Anyway, I've probably talked for too long, haven't I? Was there anything else that I wanted to talk about? No, I don't think there was. I'm really glad to see that Phil is utilising his fuel computer to the max. Although I am slightly concerned that he's driving along going, I'm doing 200 miles to the gallon. I'm doing 150 miles to the gallon. And Phil, there are cars and stuff in front of you, mate. Stop looking at the little screen. Look at the front. You know what? Toys on cars, though. Oh, God. I love me gadgets on me car. I tell you, that's what I wanted to say. Right. So Phil says that one of the frustrating things about his Citroen C4 is that it doesn't have Bluetooth. I tell you what's more frustrating about having, about my car, Phil, more frustrating than having no Bluetooth is having half Bluetooth. Half Bluetooth. Now, bear in mind that Jeremy Clarkson slated my car on Top Gear the other week. If anybody's, I'm not going to go into the Jeremy Clarkson thing. I won't walk on, I won't tread on those eggshells. But a few weeks ago, there was an article where they basically took the mickey out of Peugeot, Peugeot's recent diabolical production line. And they slated several of the Peugeot range and said, oh, the awful 307, the horrible 408, and the utterly abysmal 3008. And I went, oh my word, that's what I drive. But anyway, it's the top spec. It's the top spec. It's called the Exclusive or something. It's got more bells and whistles than you can throw anything at. It's got built-in sat-nav. It's got head-up display. It's got pop-up screens that come out the dashboard. It's got an electronic handbrake, which you never need to touch. It's got some swanky automatic, semi-automatic gearbox thing. It's got flappy paddles. It's got cruise control and climate control and all this stuff. It does everything. It's like sitting in an aircraft. There are switches everywhere. And you think, and it clearly says, it's got Bluetooth. So you go, great, I've got Bluetooth. I'm just going to move my little boy's playpen because he's about to trap his fingers in the dining room door. So you think, yeah, it's got Bluetooth. That's brilliant. And it was one of the things that convinced me to buy it, because I wanted a car with Bluetooth. And it has got Bluetooth. Well, it's got half Bluetooth. You see, the Bluetooth works, but only for the phone. Only for the actual phoning bit of the phone. You know that bit that people hardly ever use these days? The phoning bit of the phone. It doesn't work for music streaming. It doesn't work for podcast streaming. It only works for the phone. So I get in my car and it goes, beep. Graham's phone is connected. And you go, yes. And you go, right. Where's the menu to get into the podcast feed? Where's the menu to get into my Google? It doesn't work. To get listen to my music, I still have to plug a jack plug into a socket, an auxiliary socket, inside the armrest, which then plugs into my phone, and I have to control my playlist from my phone. Half Bluetooth. How frustrating is that? You've got the technology there. You've got the interface. Just let me use it properly. But no, it doesn't. It doesn't work. It's frustrating. Half Bluetooth. That's more frustrating than having no Bluetooth, because now I think maybe I could go and buy a Bluetooth adapter that, similar to the one that Phil's bought. But then I think, well, how does that work? Because my car's already got Bluetooth in it. So if I plug another Bluetooth in, how does that work? Is it not going to go, there are too many Bluetooths, and just go bang or something? There could be a massive nuclear explosion in my car. And may rip the space-time continuum or something. I don't know. Half Bluetooth. It's not good. Right, I am waffling now, and I am going to go. So thank you very, very much for putting up with me and my, 27 and a half minutes of rambling. So I'll bid you all farewell, and I will speak to you all later. Take care, guys. Thanks for listening to me. Bye-bye.